Well, we're thankful this morning for that love of God. Thankful that He has come to us with pity and with mercy. We're glad He came to you and me understanding our frame. We're glad that He came not with a desire to mark iniquity, but that He might forgive iniquity and He might save. That He might bring us out of the depths of where sin had taken us into the light and the beautiful realm of the kingdom of God. So I'm glad this morning God's got everything we need. And we can be complete this morning in Jesus Christ. This morning, last week, the Lord started giving me some thoughts, and I'd like to share them this morning. The two things that I'd like to discuss is the answer through a holy life. The answer to life's dilemma. The answer to life's irritations. The answer to sin. The answer to everything that maybe besets us round about. The answer to the things that you and me do not understand. The answer to the things that perplex us. To the guidance we need through a holy life or by living a holy life. And I want to define those two words today just briefly for the sake of the message, because they can be words that have a lot of different meanings. When I think about finding the answer or having the answer, I want to use the definition that says to solve, or a proposition, or to solve a problem, or quite briefly, a solution. Talking about this morning to the things that you and me come up against, things that you and me don't understand, the things that irritate us, the things that would tempt us, that would draw us away, there's a solution. There's an answer for you and me in Jesus Christ. Now the word holy. The word holy in the Bible can mean various things, but it always comes back to an extremely, extremely close place with God. In the Old Testament, it was the deepest of consecrations. It was hallowing something expressly for the purpose and the use in God's service. It also means to be morally pure. It means to be blameless. It means to be ceremonially pure. And it also means consecrated, dedicated, given over to. Consecrated or set apart for God's service or sacred use. Now, today I want to think about holiness and the terms of set apart for sacred use, and how you and me can have the answers, we can have the solutions to everything we face in life, be it good or be it bad, as you and me form and have within us that close personal relationship through the Holy Ghost with Jesus Christ and God the Father. In essence, God is the solution. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And the answers to our needs come through you and me being as firmly attached and in Him and Him in us, and you, me, being totally consecrated, dedicated, set aside for sacred use, keeping our eye and our emphasis on our purpose, our reason, our vision, and being true to that. And having the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, reign in us, and you and me not attempting in our own way, even it may be seemingly innocent or ignorant, to usurp authority in the areas where Christ wants to reign in us, thereby gendering problems or causing the problems that we think we're trying to find the answers to to get actually larger because we're going outside the scope of what we are and who we are, and we're trying to perform the divine. I want to start this morning over in Genesis. This is part of the curse that was bestowed upon mankind. Literally here probably, but also spiritually and mentally. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse, he was looking at Adam speaking this. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, from dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. Well, I don't think any of us don't understand that in life there are briars and there's thistles and there's thorns. There are a lot of things for you and me to get entangled with. Man has done a lot to control herbs and with herbicides. Man has done a lot to be able to take the weeds and the things that grow out of the ground to be able to cultivate better. But they've fallen far short of remedying the problem of sin, remedying the problem of selfishness, remedying the problem of man trying to work out and guide his own life without God. There's a lot of briars, there's a lot of thistles, there's a lot of thorns, and we find ourselves, don't you, entangled many times with living. God, help us to find the solution through a dedicated, a consecrated, and a holy life in Jesus Christ. And I want to go on with that. In Job 14:1, it said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of troubles. I want to say to you, that would be a pitiful lot to say that's all that I have. And there's no remedy for that. There's no mercy for that. There's no way for me to have a hope or an expectation that things could be and will be better. That would be terrible to say that's my lot and I have no answer, I have no recourse, I have nowhere to go. I have only my own ingenuity and my own resources. I have only my own resources to solve the problems and the difficulties and find the answers. I am consigned to a life of torment, if you will, of aggravation, if you will, of frustration, if you will. I am beset about with the briars and the thorns and all these things that entangle me, and there's no way out. I'm glad God has an answer. I'm glad God has a place for His church. I'm glad God has a relationship with us whereby we can be a conqueror, yea, more than a conqueror, that we do not have to say, well, this is my lot. I've just got to be unhappy, or I've just got to have these problems that insurmountable, and I'm going to go into all the confusion of trying to figure it all myself. I'm glad the Bible teaches me and you that we've got a place to cast our burdens, cast our problems, cast our cares, cast our questions, cast our hurts, cast our disappointments, cast those things that we totally do not understand, yea, we may never understand. I'm glad God didn't want you and me to figure out all the solutions, but He wanted us to look unto Jesus. He wanted us to look to a place where the truth and the light ever shines, and you and me can walk in that light, and we can be dedicated to the One and consecrated to the One who has that light. Over in Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, okay, now He's talking about you and me. He's talking about the church. He's talking about saints. And He said there will be many afflictions, insults. There will be many affronts. There will be many questions with no answers. There will be sickness. There will be disappointment. There will be a myriad of situations that are greater than we are. But He went on and said, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. That's the relationship we want to covet this morning. That's the place we want to go to. Okay, I'm born a woman, and my life is short days and full of troubles, And there's going to be afflictions even to the righteous. But He told you and me, but the Lord. Oh, that wonderful thought. But the Lord delivereth them from them all. You see where our answers begin to point to? It's not in you and me trying to figure life out. But we begin to point to the one who has the solution. And that solution is not hard to find. But it's a difficult place to come to. Because it requires something of me that's very precious. My will. My opinion. My way. It requires of me, yes, one, to be born again. That's the first step. Repentance. That's the first step. Entering into the kingdom. But God has taught you and me there's another place. And there's a deeper relationship. There's a place. Thank you, Braden. There's a place where God actually comes and possesses. Not only lives, but possesses. To do that, and we'll read some things, that is going to take a relinquishing on my part. And therein, folks, I believe lies our struggle, is turning loose and allowing God. Dedicating ourselves so completely, consecrating ourselves so completely, that I give up the fight, I give up the struggle, and I submit to the Word and the Spirit and the auspices of God. That I turn my life over to Him, and what comes will come. But the answer to what has come and that it will come, I now have that because He has taken up His abode. He has taken possession of the temple. He now has the answer to that I don't understand. It quite frankly floors me sometimes. To those disappointments that I encounter, or to those disappointments that I am the originator of in my own heart. I'd like for us to go over into Samuel. 1 Samuel a moment. I find myself often looking for answers, don't you? And it's amazing sometimes how the answers come. And what the Lord says, the answer is. The Lord many times, most of the times, directs the answer to my conduct and my attitude instead of the source, wherever it may be, of the irritation. I propose to you this morning, that's a hard place to come to. That's a difficult pasture to find. That is a stream of water of life that you and me as people have a difficulty in accepting. That the problem is not generated because of other people so much, but because of my reaction and my feelings. I'm glad the Lord has a place to take command of me. And that's where we want to go to today. The solution to our difficulties in life can be answered in submission and a consecrated life to the divine purpose of God. We'll find peace there. We'll find joy there. We'll find the fulfillment of life there. And we'll find burdens lifted. And we'll find joy more complete. We'll find peace flowing like a river. We'll find the promises of God are indeed yea and amen, with no exception. We'll find ourselves happier because we've turned loose of a struggle that we can't answer. I want to encourage us this morning to look to God and consecrate ourselves. Some of us can consecrate earthly store. Some of us can consecrate time. Some of us can consecrate our talent. Every one of us probably has areas that the consecration, well, okay, that's reasonable and acceptable and I can do that. But it goes deeper than that. God is looking for a consecrated person who has emptied himself of himself, herself, and allowed Jesus Christ through the Spirit to come in and take absolute control, casting on Him the questions of life. Over in 1 Samuel 17 and the 44th verse, story of David and Goliath, and you know it well. 44th verse, and the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David unto the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." And that's how life presents itself sometimes, on the attack, piercing, hurting, damaging. And it's got its defenses up. And we don't know exactly how to handle it. And the struggle ensues as we attempt to handle it. "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." We remember David had, tried on Saul's armor and said he hadn't proved it. Probably didn't fit him. Plus, he hadn't proved it. He didn't know how to use it. But he knew how to use the promise. He knew how to use that which God had supplied. And he had courage, not in the armor, but in God. And he said, "You've come to me with all these elements, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Saints, today, let you and me disarm ourselves. Let's allow ourselves to be vulnerable to life, and not count it an atrocity and an affront when you and I have been imposed on. But let's count it, as we hopefully will get to and read today, that it will be a very real place for the expression of the holiness of God to shine forth. That God is in control and that we can trust Him. "I've come to you not with those things of man, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, of the host of Israel." This day, today, on this ground, in this place, in this locale, with all these witnesses, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass of the host, the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." What better purpose in life could a difficulty be than to prove to the world there's a God in Israel? Do you think, do I think today we're going to miss problems? We can cancel that out. We know better than that. Then let's consecrate ourselves and our problems to the glory of God. Not to behave in a way that seeks vengeance, self-redemption, or promoting of our opinion, but rather to humbly seek out through a consecrated, holy life the purpose of God to shine forth. "I'm coming out here to meet you in the name of God, and no intent to build myself up whatsoever, but we want the world to know there's a God in heaven." Going to be a lot of saber rattling. There's going to be a lot of things. But what better way than in the adversity of life, in the confrontations of life, the human relationships of life, in the places that you and me do not understand, and we're vying for one opinion over the other, to submit ourselves and let the God of heaven come and glorify His name through the answer that He gives. You know, to me, I don't know of a better expression of Christianity than for Christianity to get in trouble and show forth the love of God. I don't know of better expression of Christianity on this earth than to be persecuted for righteousness' sake and be blessed in the process. The world may know there's a God in Israel. But it's going to take a real dedicated experience. It's going to take something along the lines of what Jesus Christ said, Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Was he not and is he not the captain of our salvation? Was he not and is he not the leader, the ensign over the people? Sure he is. Then if he said unto the Father, not my will, but thine be done, he gave us an example. The struggle, I contend, is not in the problem. The struggle is within, submitted to the kingdom and the righteousness of God. Most of us, given a quiz, know what we ought to do. Most of us, given a quiz, know the right answer. Where is the struggle? Is the struggle any longer with what someone said? Or how I was treated? Or whether my idea was accepted or rejected? Or whether I was tempted or not? Is not the struggle then within? Is the question and the struggle and the answer then, part of the answer has to do with consecration to the will of God? May the Lord help us today to be a consecrated people. He said, and I'm going to give your head to the fowls of the air. I'm going to take your head from you. I thought about that, and I'm speaking of me. And I got to thinking about places that needs its head cut off so God can be glorified. There was a time when Israel attacked a city. David and Joab actually did the attacking. Someone had profaned David. And this one that had profaned David went and hid in a city that a woman ruled over. Joab encircled it with one intention. Get in that fella. And if it meant slaying the whole city, so be it. And the woman came on the wall and appealed to Joab and said, why would you slay the whole city? Joab kind of matter-of-factly said, because I want that man. He insulted David, the king. I want him, and if you stand in the way. The lady said, give us till sundown. Something like this. Joab said, okay. And after a while, they decided that the head of this man needed to go over the wall. Kind of a gruesome story. But so was David and Goliath. It tells you and me part of how dangerous we can be to ourselves. How contending and not submitting to God can be a very damning and dangerous thing. Robs us of joy, it'll rob you of fellowship and me of fellowship one with another. Contention, vying, arguing, defending, holding on to things that we know we need to turn loose of. I submit to us, let's examine our lives. And if there's an uncircumcised Philistine lurking around, let's take his head off and throw it over the wall. Let's consecrate everything we have to God. Let's consecrate the answers to life's questions to God. Let's turn loose of ourselves and let God. Let's believe Him so much and love Him so dearly that I don't even want to contend for that. I don't want that. I don't want to try to find the answer. I don't know, and my opinion is worthless compared to the opinion of God. And turn loose. And finding the answer that maybe some of us have sought for years, but we haven't sought it to our own hurt. We haven't sought it to our own crucifixion. We haven't sought it enough to be honest enough with ourselves and say, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord, that's got something in head needs to be taken off and thrown over the wall. May God help us this morning to recognize the battle, He said, is the Lord's. Such a a hard place to come to, if I may say so. To recognize the best I can do with my solutions is make some kind of confederation. But in my intelligence, I don't have it to provide the answer of peace. He said he would lead us in perfect peace, whose minds is stayed, focused on Jesus Christ or on God. I'd like to turn, if you will, now, because God, I know this, He wants us happy. He wants us free. He wants us full of joy. He wants us full of peace. He wants us not to have the care of life. He wants to bear that for us. Then what are we doing with it? I ask that in a general sense. Why is it woe is me? No, blessed am I. If God wants the cares of life on Him, I ask this very seriously and very humbly, what are we doing with them? What are we holding on to something for? It's only gendering up something that takes and robs and confuses us. Over in Hebrews 12, first three verses, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, at right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. One of the more powerful scriptures in my mind is found in Ephesians, about the fourth verse, chapter somewhere. Till we all come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow. That to me is a very challenging thing. It humbles me. I see places at hope. My Lord, help me because I'm not there yet. To the fullness of Christ. That we consider Jesus and Christ in all things this morning. So He said to us that sins and things about us and beset us about, that you and me run our race right here today with patience. This word beset means that there's competitors out there. This word beset means there are elements that will thwart our purpose in living for God, being a light for Him. This word beset means that they are skillfully surrounding us, that they produce arguments that sound so good, so plausible, and so correct. You know why they do, folks? Because they cater to our flesh. They cater to our appetites. They cater to our feelings and to our emotions and to our reasoning. To me, it's imperative that we sell all that we have and buy this treasure. That we sell all of the things that are elements whereby that which besets us and so skillfully uses our own self against us and our feelings, our emotions. May God help us. That easily they're just there and they beset us, common to man, and run with patience. This word patience could probably be as well, if not better translated, endurance. That we run with endurance. That we do not run to be defeated, but that we run to win. That we engage in the battle not with our strength and our armor, which has been, if anything, proven to be flawed, but take on us the armor of God. Take on us the guidance of the Holy One, the wisdom of the Holy One, the cunningness in battle of the Holy One, casting all our cares and all of our needs upon Him, for indeed He cares for us. And then he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. This word finisher can mean the one who perfects. God wants to perfect salvation. He doesn't want it to be just an incidental element in our life. He doesn't want it to be a Sunday school lesson. He doesn't want it to be just a church service. He wants it to be an integral part of who we are, what we are. He wants it to have control. He wants it to be the perfecter of our life. So what do we do when we're perfected? We bring those places that need attention. We bring the rough edges so they can be faceted into the image of the Lord. God wants us to bring our imperfections and confess them. Our impatience, perhaps. Our attitude, perhaps. Our hurt feelings, perhaps. Those things that so easily beset us, and we're contending for the answer. We're going to defend it. We're going to hold it up. We're coming against it in our name. And, well, I know what I think, and this is right. And in my opinion, David said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. It's the Lord's battle. It's not mine. The worst place, one of the worst places you and me can get into is trying to be our own defender. The Lord is our defender. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. And I don't need to defend an error, do I? Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And he said, he will lift you up. Too many times, if we're not careful, we can be guilty of trying to lift our own selves up. And in case you've never tried that, I tried it one time. I think I stood on a rope. And I tried to lift myself up. And I never did get myself off the ground. But you know, sometimes we try to fight our battles the same way. Instead of turning over through a consecrated life, dedicating ourselves and our purpose to Jesus Christ. Over in Ephesians, this word finisher, there's another word here, the consummator. To finish by completing what was intended. I want to just remind you of that. Jesus Christ came as part of an overall purpose of God. He came as a very real and important part of the intentions of God. He came as the culminator, in a way, the consummator, the one that would send back the Holy Ghost to perfect and finish completing the intentions of the divine, and that you and me might be holy in His sight, blameless, consecrated, a vessel of honor, a vessel that He might be able to use. Over in Ephesians, the first chapter, as we look here a moment. Ephesians 1 and 19. Paul was writing that our eyes would be opened. In 19th verse, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities and power and might and dominions and every name that is named. Think about this in a personal aspect for a moment. Jesus Christ is the power of God. That power was directed for us and to us. And He raised Him from the dead, the power of the resurrection, working in you and me. Christ is set now at the very throne of the heavenlies, and He's far above all these things that beset us, far above all the questions, perplexities of life, far above all the human relationships that puzzle us, far above the temptations of sin, far above the accusations of the devil, far above emotions and feelings and those type of things. and dominions and far above everything that you and me can name as a thorn or as a briar or as an entanglement or as a confusion. Far above anything that could be named that would hold us back or prevent our joy, that would hinder us from having peace, freedom in the Holy Ghost, and freedom in service, freedom in letting our light shine. Christ is far above all principalities, far above everything. We do Christ an insult when we do not let Him heal us. We do Christ in the purpose and the intent of God an insult when we fail to say, God can take care of this. I cast on Him my cares. We insult the very purpose of God when we try to fight and defend our own battles. When we try to winnow our own path, when we try to orchestrate our own life, we insult the very purpose of what God came, Christ came for, to establish in us the kingdom, and He Himself, the King, casting all our cares on Him, to realize that regardless of what comes against me or whatever I face as a question, there is one that is far above all principalities. I want to run to Him. I want to give to Him. I want to consecrate to Him. I want to turn loose of myself. I want to lose myself, the songwriter said, and find it, Lord, in Thee, the great power that God has toward us. Lord, help us this morning to use that power. In Ephesians 3 and 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth this knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There's the answer, folks. All the fullness. Here's the way I see that in part. There is a definite work of grace called sanctification, if you will, or perfect love. And there is also a place where the enemy is identified, and we submit that place to God. There are also the rough edges that we allow the Lord to burnish and clean. There's also those places that, unbeknown to us, they're strongholds and places that I hold on to for whatever reason. It could be affections. It could be boy-girl relationships. It could be most anything. Or it could be anything. Paul said that you may be filled with all the fullness. As those places arise, Lord, I want your fullness there. I see a place that's disturbing the peace that passes understanding. I see a place that I am unhappy in. My joy is not complete. And Lord, I realize it's not the stimulus from the outside. It is something within. I want to be filled right there, Lord, with all the fullness of God. Oh, please, don't think that I don't understand this. Because I think I'm probably so human it scares me sometimes. I know where the problem lies, saints. It's not with the enemy out there. It's his touching inside. In places that yet have not been consecrated on the inside. That's where we struggle. That's where we lament so many times. In Malachi 3 and 1. And he said, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. We are the temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. In Acts, second chapter, he suddenly, as a rushing wind, a mighty wind, came and took possession of his temple. John 14 and 17. John 14 and 17. I believe there's another scripture that said he shall, maybe this is in Malachi, thoroughly purge his threshing room floor. It said John the Baptist said this, and now as the axe lay to the root of the trees, going down to the heart of the matter, the Spirit that you now seek will suddenly come in and to His temple, thoroughly purging, laying the axe to the problem, giving us power, Christ said, from on high. John 14 and 17, speaking of this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, because He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. There's the place, Lord, help us to come this morning. It's no longer me now, but it's Christ. Christ living, Christ reigning. The solution then is not in the cranium. It is in the heart, the throne room, where the King reigns. Did you remember the stories of Solomon? David even? Moses even? They were looked to for the solution to the question. The King, the monarch, the one anointed of God. So it is today. The solution is not in us. I don't care how simple or how large the problem, the solution is not in us. The satisfactory answer is in the King, submitting to the King, allowing the King to issue His ruling, allowing the King to fight the battle, allowing the King to arm our hearts, allowing the King to take on Himself the distress and the puzzlement that we feel sometimes, the frustration and even the aggravation that we feel, allowing the King to fight the battle. I don't say this lightly. This comes at a price. Consecration comes at a price. Over in 2 Corinthians, here's what God said through Paul. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. Speaking about His church, I believe. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now that can pose a problem. The treasure of salvation. And we have it in an imperfect place in earthen vessels. To me that says, Lord, I need You to come in. Because this earthen vessel is not capable of handling life and its difficulties. It's not capable of handling such a precious pearl or jewel as salvation. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Not that we're to know all the answers. Not that we're able to fight and win all the battles. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. How many times have we tried to fight the battle and thought we won and still felt terrible? Probably most of us have been there. Husbands and wives getting little spats. And one of them thinks, well, I won that one. Why do you feel so bad? Why do you wish you hadn't have won? Why do you find yourself going around saying, I'm sorry? Because it was a fleshly victory. No glory to God. No humbling. No blessing from the Almighty that led you there. But I got it because I was... wittier, so whatever. But it never produces the peace of God that passes understanding. That the excellency of the power, the glory of the power, wow, that was God in that person. That was God working in me. Paul said, we are troubled on every side. Amen. But not distressed. We are perplexed. Sure we are. But not in despair. Persecuted. Sometimes we think we are, but not forsaken. Cast down? Well, yes, that happens, but not destroyed. Always, he said, bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life of Christ may be made manifest in our body. Oh, may we have that glorious desire. That in this earthen body, the life of Christ may be manifest. that the excellency of the victory belongs to God. That I take my earthen vessel of clay with all its liabilities and turn it over to God. Consecrate it to God. Now, over in Daniel, right before the handwriting on the wall, something very important took place. Not that they were drunk. Not that there was probably an orgy going on. More than that, this king in his haughtiness called for the vessels of the temple that came out of Jerusalem. And folks, they were holy. They were consecrated. And when God saw that, it's almost like he said, that's it. Last straw. It's over with. They took a vessel that was consecrated to God and misused it. I want to warn us and challenge us, excite our hope today. Let's not take the vessel of God and misuse it. Let's not take these earthen tabernacles and try to do the work of the divine. Let you and me not try to have answers to questions that there cannot be a human answer to. Solutions to dilemmas and confusions in human relationships that only will get worse as we misuse our intelligence and our feelings. But instead, take this earthen mind, body, soul, spirit, lay it on the altar of consecration. And this is not just a one-time event. Yes, we're sanctified by the Spirit coming in. Yes. Folks, we daily must find that place of submission to this earthen vessel, submitting to the divine. That's peace, that's joy, and that's victory. That's endurance, and that's patience, and that's continuance, and that's going on the next day. That's not letting this rise in the name of Jesus. Not trying to make the solution of myself and trying to make everyone understand, but humbling ourselves and the Lord lifting us up over that trial, and we patiently endure right on and face the next situation of life. Time's gone, isn't it? So if you'll allow me, I want to read in Philippians, because I think this is an essence. Paul is the one who said, I am crucified with Christ. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 3 and 7. But what things were counted gain to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Don't limit this to sin, to lying. Don't limit this to thievery, breaking the Ten Commandments. Paul said, what those things that I counted virtuous even, righteous even, those things that I thought I had it and answers to, those things I just count them as loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way. Are you willing, and am I willing today to suffer the loss of everything for something more excellent? That's what it comes down to. Am I willing to sacrifice myself and my way for something more excellent? Paul said, that's what I've done. I've counted everything but loss that I may obtain a more excellent way, a more perfect way. A holy way, that I may obtain the way that is of peace and joy, a river flowing in and out of me. That's what God wants us to have today, saints. But it comes at a cost, comes at an expense. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Quite a revelation of Paul's thinking here. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Message after message right here. But Paul said he had suffered the loss of all things. Now that is a profound statement that I can't expound on enough. Am I willing today to suffer the loss of all things? My coat, automobile, my house. Okay. Am I willing to suffer the loss of my finances and give that to God? Okay. Suffer the loss of all things. How about my opinion? How about what I think about myself? Can we go there? How about the things that I just vehemently believe in and contend to the breaking down of peace and of joy? Am I willing to turn loose of that? Am I willing to turn loose my letter of authority, whatever that may be in life? As a parent, am I willing to humble myself and tell my children that they were right and I was wrong? Think about it. Think about it. Am I willing to turn loose of everything? Some people don't have problems giving money. In fact, some people enjoy giving money. See what I mean? There are things that we can just do. But folks, there's things that we can't do. And it depends on Christ being the focal center point of our life. His purpose, our heart's desire. His expression into the world, the very covenant we've made with Him. Suffering the loss of everything and all things, of myself, of my rights, of my opinions, of the seat I have in life, wherever it may be, giving that up that I may win Christ. Because in finding that place, we find joy. We find peace. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest in finding that rest. I am crucified with Christ. Yet I live, yet not I, but Christ, Jesus Christ, liveth in me. And the life that I now live, it's a consecrated life. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what I want to be, folks. Have I got there? I'm not going to shout and say hallelujah. But that's where I want to be. Consecrated, dedicated, given over, selling all. Quit my stressing and my straining and my contending for things. Turn loose of the injustice I may feel. Turn loose of the attitude I may hold. Turn loose, and let God take control of this earthen vessel. Then if I'm on the winning side, it won't be any glory to me, but it'll all be to God. If my opinion prevails, it was because I was over here in the corner somewhere and God prevailed. See what I'm saying? The answer is not in me, and it's not in you, and it's not in man. The battle belongs to the Lord. The victory, the glory, the magnificence of the victory belongs to God. And He will bring peace. And He will bring rest to our soul. And the very peace of God sanctify you wholly. May the Lord please have right away in our lives today. He has nothing but good intended for us. Will I turn loose now and consecrate my life? Oh. I have suffered the loss of all things. The reason I have done that is I saw and found a more excellent way. My way was justified with myself. But finally, the little light bulb of Christ went on in my mind, in your heart, in my heart, and I found there's something better than this. There is indeed something better than my way. I don't care how much I think or you think or your way, the fact is God's way is best. And as we find that, we open the door to a large room, to a wealthy place, to a place where His blessings ever flow, a place where then I've got the solution. The answer is in Jesus Christ reigning in my heart and me being consecrated to His purpose. Pray for me.